Well, sir, it's about 11:15 o'clock in the morning as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook. Mr. Victor Gook has newly arrived home from the office, and he apparently has something urgent on his mind because his voice rings with bright eagerness. Listen.
I've never met him, but I've heard about him for many years, and he's supposed to be a prince of good fellows. L. Vogel Drum is his name, and his title is Grand Nomadic Stenchel. He's a high-up guy in the lodge, and we want to treat him like the celebrity that he is. Rush, I'll want you to trot upstairs in a minute and bring down my lodge regalia.
Okay.
I walk pretty briskly home from the office. Do I seem bushed and flyish?
Do you seem what?
Flushed and boyish. I guess I said bushed and flyish.
Said something.
Flushed and boyish, bushed and flyish. Papa needs a plate of royish. I think that's some kind of Chinese pastry. Chinese pastry is very tasty. You can laugh if you want to, Rush.
I haven't heard anything funny.
Oh, Ish, Vic, are you excited over something again?
No, I don't think so. Only I am kind of thrilled. I've heard about L. Vogel Drum ever since I joined the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way. Now I'll meet him in person and spend the whole afternoon with him.
I listened the best I could, and I guess I heard everything you said, but you talk so fast. Will you go over it again a little slower? This man is coming here?
Yes.
When?
Well, he might appear any second. He's on the morning flyer from St. Louis. Isn't that due, Dorothy?
Well, it's already in. Heard the engineer whistle several minutes ago.
Then he's on his way.
Tell me his name again.
Bell Wiggle Crumb.
We won't have any of that, Rush, old pal. No smart-aleck reports or cute conversation. Tiny tots will keep the little clam closed or there'll be fireflies.
Okay.
I mean that.
The man's name, Vic?
L. Vogel Drum. Remember that and keep it straight.
And he works for the lodge?
He is the Grand Nomadic Stenchel.
Do I have to remember that and keep it straight?
It wouldn't hurt any.
Oh, all right.
Grand Nomadic Stenchel is just a fancy method of saying General Visitation Officer. Mr. Drum works full-time for the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way and earns a fine, fat salary.
Good for him.
He moves in important circles. He pals with governors of states and senators and notables by the bushel.
Maybe I better slip on a fresh apron.
Isn't that one clean?
I think so.
Uh-huh. Well, and how do you look?
Great. I never looked better. I happened to glance in the looking glass a while ago, and I looked about as good as a human being can look.
You have a chunk of apple on your cheek.
Yes, I know I have. Plan to reach out my tongue and snake it in after a bit. Oh, well, what the heck, I'll do it now.
That's great work.
Thanks.
It would please me if L. Vogel Drum got the notion my young son was at least approximately bright.
I expect you fellas will eat downtown, or did you already tell me?
I already told you. We are lunching at the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shoppy.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, we'll stroll down to the Unity Building, where we will inspect the lodge hall.
And how long will Mr. Slum be in the city?
Drum, Sadie, Drum. Not Slum, Drum, please.
I ought to be able to keep a name like that in mind.
Think of a band of cannibals, Mom. They got 9 delicious missionaries tied to a post. It's almost supper time. The chief cannibal smacks his lips and picks up his knife and fork. All the other cannibals...
What are you talking about, Rush?
I'm giving Mom a way to keep the word drum in mind.
I do not follow.
Cannibals, see?
No.
Cannibals, cannibals.
Please do not keep mouthing the word cannibals over and over.
Drum. The cannibals have got a drum. Boom, boom, boom. Drum, see? A drum goes boom. That's how Mom can remember the name Boom. I mean drum. Drum, drum, drum. The cannibals are squatting around the fire and beating on their drum because it's supper time. Drum, drum, drum. Boom, 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 boom,
oh,
boom.
Oh, Walter, old man, have mercy.
You do sound a little feeble-minded, Willie.
All right, I sound feeble-minded. But I bet you don't forget this man's name is Boom in a hurry.
Sadie, to get back to the question you asked before we fell into this swamp of heartbreaking dialogue, Mr. Drum takes the train for Chicago at 4:45 this afternoon.
Fine. Well, I guess I got everything pretty well straightened out now. This big, important man, his name is Drum, is stopping past.
Hello.
And...
in the living room, are they, Sadie, honey?
Uncle Fletcher, by George. Hi, Uncle Fletcher.
Rush, honey, old boy.
Oh.
Why do you say, oh?
Nothing.
Afraid Uncle Fletcher will embarrass you in front of this big muckety-muck that's coming?
No. Only the first time I have Vel Vogel Drum in my home, it just...
The name is Drum. L. Vogel Drum. Try and keep it straight.
What'd I say?
Something silly. Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Good morning, Sadie, honey. I paused a moment there in the dining room because I had something in my tooth. Vic, honey, you on deck also, are they? I already screamed in a greeting to you, Rush.
Yeah,
morning,
that's right,
Uncle Fletcher.
Glorious day.
Yes, indeed.
The sun, she shines in the heavens, and the breezes, they stomp over the meadow. Every so often, I'll open my trap and say something half-witted like that. Oh, there's a streak of fun-loving nonsense in me. I roast and josh and joke and ventilisolate.
What's that mean?
What's what mean?
That big word.
Ventilisolate?
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked that question, Rush, honey.
Oh.
Nothing in particular eating on you, are they, Vic, honey?
Well, I'm expecting some company directly.
Is that a fact?
An important man from St. Louis.
Man from St. Louis?
Yep.
He's out in the side yard.
What side yard?
Your side yard. This side yard.
No.
Yes.
El Vogel Drum?
Sure, he's a bum.
A bum?
He's always been a bum.
There's some mistake here, Uncle Fletcher.
No mistake at all.
I am expecting a gentleman from St. Louis.
He's sitting out in the side yard on Sister Lynn.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, it isn't ridiculous, Gov. There is a fellow out beside the house here.
Is it El Vogel Drum?
I don't know. I've never met El Vogel Drum.
Of course he's a bum.
Who is a bum, Uncle Fletcher?
Botch Purney.
Botch Purney?
My dear old sidekick, Botch Purney.
This fellow got up from the Sister Lynn. Coming around to our back door, I think.
Sure, Botch Purney. I've known Botch Purney for 35 years.
Well, at least we're getting someplace.
Yes, he is coming around to our back door.
Well, it can't be El Vogel Drum.
I beg to insist, Vic, honey, that my friend Botch Purney is and always has been a bum.
Is your friend Botch Purney a St. Louis man, Uncle Fletcher?
Botch Purney has resided in St. Louis since 1909.
Well... all this confusion is cleared up, anyway. There's two fellas in the picture.
Yes, and one of them's a bum. Fine character to introduce to the grand nomadic stench of the sacred stars of the Milky Way.
One of them's a bum and one of them's a drum.
I warned you about that kind of talk, Rush.
There's not the slightest doubt in the world but what my dear old sidekick, Botch Purney, is a bum.
That's great.
Oh, Fletch, you disappearing there for good?
There's your friend, Uncle Fletcher.
Who? Where?
Hey, Fletch!
There's old Botch.
Yeah.
Come on in, Botch, old pal.
You bet. Sure thing.
Old Botch Purney, as fine a bum as ever lived. A hobo through and through.
Again, we go to the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block. Sade and young Rush are seated on the davenport, while Uncle Fletcher and his friend Botch Purney stand beside the library table. Vic is absent at the moment, having gone upstairs to assemble his large regalia. Uncle Fletcher is speaking as we rejoin our friends, and we hear him say...
Botch, do you recollect that time I and you took Eileen and Margaret McSapperson out for a buggy ride, and the half-wit buggy darn near tipped over?
I'll never forget it.
That was before you were a bum.
That was before I was a bum.
Say, did Rushy, honey, one time I and Botch took Eileen and Margaret McSapperson out for a buggy ride, and the half-wit buggy darn near tipped over.
Well,
that was before Botch was a bum.
Really?
You can laugh if you wish.
All right.
Rush, you too may feel free to laugh.
Laugh at what?
Laugh at I and Botch that took Eileen and Margaret McSapperson out for a buggy ride, and the half-wit buggy darn near turned over.
Oh, all right.
That was before Botch was a bum. Very side-splitting occasion. Laugh some more at it.
All right.
Little children, they enjoy a hearty laugh at the humorous antics of the grown-ups.
Yeah.
Botch, possibly you recall I and you deciding to buy a ticket and travel to Burlington, Iowa, and we ended up by buying a ticket to Moberly, Missouri.
That was comical, no mistake.
You see, Rushy and Sadie, honey, I and Botch thought we'd buy a ticket and travel to Burlington, Iowa, but instead we bought a ticket to Moberly, Missouri. Let's see, Botch, was that before you became a bum?
Yeah, that was before I became a bum.
This was before Botch became a bum.
Uh-huh.
Well...
care to enjoy another laugh?
No.
Go ahead. Enjoy another hearty laugh at our expense. You've got these people holding their sides, Botch.
Oh, I'm a clown.
Another stunt Iron Botch pulled off that'll make you people fall to the floor on your knees and shudder with helpless guffawing was the time Botch bought a 10-cent twist of chewing tobacco.
I brought the whole works down, kiddo. Robe, boots, plumed hat, sword and scabbard. Oh, excuse me, Uncle Fletcher. I guess I interrupted you.
Perfectly all right. I was just describing
you think
a few
I should
of the various
wear the whole
porky
works
signs I and Botch here used to indulge in.
Yeah, I see.
Botch here, you know, is a bum.
Yeah, that's what you said. Oh. Sadie, should I wear the whole works, do you think?
Well, where are you going?
Well, I told you where I was going.
You said downtown to the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shoppy and then to the Unity Building.
Well, that's right.
Well, there's not a parade scheduled, is there?
Of course not.
Is there a meeting?
No.
Well, why would you put on plumed hat, patent leather boots, and velvet robe, then?
Because I'd be in the society of El Vogel Drum.
That's you, Bob.
I don't get it.
Bub.
Yeah.
Will El Vogel Drum be wearing boots or plumed hat and robe?
No, of course not.
Well, what will he be wearing?
Oh, a sleeveless sweater, tennis shoes, and baseball pants.
Really?
Oh, thunder, kiddo. Use your head.
Well, I'd like to, but if you refuse to make sense...
He'll be wearing a business suit like any important executive. Naturally, he don't ride around on trains dressed in some fancy dress masquerade costume.
Well, then why do you consider putting on a fancy dress masquerade costume?
Because I'll be in the Society of El Vogel Drum.
There you are again, Botch.
Uh-huh.
Look, are you two men going down to the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shoppy and have dinner and then stroll over to the Unity Building?
I said two or three times we were.
He wears an ordinary business suit, huh? And you wear patent leather boots, plumed hat, velvet robe, and a great big sword?
Said El Vogel Drum is the grand nomad extension.
He'll enjoy that.
In recognition of this high position in the world of affairs, I don't feel that I can do
but
that.
But look foolish and feel foolish.
Here's something that'll make you laugh.
All right, I'll compromise with you.
Don't put yourself out compromising with me.
I'll leave the velvet robe at home and only wear the boots, plumed hat, and sword.
You'll still appear peculiar to people on the street.
The innocent passerbys will get the impression you're...
I'll leave the velvet robe and the sword at home. I'll only appear at the restaurant in plumed hat and patent leather boots.
You won't be the slightest bit conspicuous. Probably there'll be a dozen other diners with plumed hats and patent leather boots on.
Here's the side-splitting belly laugh I promised you.
I'll leave everything at home but the plumed hat.
I don't care, Vic.
I'll leave everything at home but the plumed hat. I'll only wear the plumed hat.
You just suit yourself.
I'll only wear the plumed hat, huh?
The innocent passerbys will have the vague notion that you're...
There's a bell.
Front doorbell's ringing. Front doorbell's ringing.
El Vogel Drum. El Vogel Drum.
I'm sure my friend Botch is at your service.
He's at the front door. Go answer it, Rush. No, maybe I better. See, you're the housewife.
I've never met the fellow.
Well, I'll go then.
Hello? Anybody home?
He opened the screen door and walked in without anybody going.
Hello, Mr. Drum. Come in, Mr. Drum. We've been expecting you, Mr. Drum. Say, shake hands with Mr. Drum.
I can't reach clear into the other room.
Uncle Fletcher, Mr. Drum.
No, not me. You're thinking of Botch here.
Sky Brother Gook?
Yes. In hoc ad nauseum prolix. Set spittle nomenclature est.
Dumb clock in a grigalized suit. Non babo in cornucopia hunk.
What in thunder type dialogue is this?
Greek garbage.
Latin garbage.
Latin garbage. It's secret lodge junk.
Uh-huh.
Set up the old countersign in the other alley.
Which of you gentlemen is V.R. Gook?
I'm V.R. Gook. Punco delicto non dispitendum hoop.
Volis dum prosit ad valorem slutch.
Anno bono semper vibrant.
Yach indebil esteltroth.
Very complicated conversation they got here, Botch.
They like to talk the hard way.
Sky Brother Gook, this is a pleasure.
Meet you, Sky Brother Drum, is a joy I've been looking forward to for many years.
Is this your charming wife?
Yes. Sade, allow me to present one of the really big men in the sacred stars of the Milky Way, Mr. El Vogel Drum, Grand Nomadic Stenchel.
How do you do, Mr. Stenchel?
Drum.
Drum?
The name is Drum.
Oh, yeah, of course. How do you do?
Very well, thank you, Mrs. Gook. I'm so happy to make your acquaintance.
Not at all.
And this fine young man is no doubt...
Yes, he's our son. Rush, curtsy. I mean, shake hands.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Drum.
Thank you. You about 14?
That's right.
Mr. Drum, my wife's uncle, Mr. Fletcher Rush. Uncle Fletcher, Mr. L. Vogel Drum.
Set of facts makes two on the premises. Meet another bub, Botch. Shake hands with the pal.
Well, you haven't shaken hands with Mr. Drum yet yourself, Uncle Fletcher.
I didn't catch your name, sir.
Oh, that's right.
His name is Mr. Rush, Mr. Drum.
Well, glad to know you, Rush. Well,
that he never knows what he's going to bump into. A man, by George, he gets up in the morning and he eats his half-wittle lay-brain breakfast from the first feeble-minded thing he
does. Telephone's ringing. Telephone's ringing.
I'll get it.
I imagine it's Ruthie Stampada.
I'll answer the telephone.
Go right ahead.
Say, it seems to me I've seen you before.
I've been thinking the same thing.
My name is Drum.
So is Botch. He's a bum, too. Tell him you're a bum, Botch.
I'm a bum.
Is your name Botch?
That's my first name. Perney's my last name.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Hello? Yes, it is. El Vogel Drum? Yes. Yes, he is here. 1 second. It's for you, Mr. Drum.
Okay.
It's New York calling.
Okay.
It's New York calling. New York? What did I tell you, Sade? What have I been saying about El Vogel Drum and the big-time way he does business? Mr. Drum, New York wants to send you a telephone.
I'll be right there. You ever travel around Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma?
Quite a bit, yeah.
I seem to associate you with that part of the country.
Could be.
New York wants, Mr. Drum.
Well, don't you imagine it's just one person?
Huh?
Don't you imagine it's just one person in New York that wants him? When you say New York wants Mr. Drum, it sounds like all the 19 million inhabitants are standing out on the sidewalk with their tongues hanging out, screaming for Mr. Drum.
Be silent, sir. Mr. Drum wishes to speak with New York.
Yes? Oh, Put him on. A friend of mine.
See, just one person.
Quiet.
How about Idaho, Perney? Ever spent much time in Idaho?
Well, not to speak of.
Colorado? Pueblo, Colorado?
No, never been there.
Botch here is a bum.
Is that a fact?
Makes two bums right here in the same house.
There's a bumblebee on your forehead.
Oh, get out.
No, I've seen you someplace. I wish I could... Hello, Bob? How are you, Bob? Uh-huh. Oh, pretty good. No, I'm leaving here at 4 something.
4:45.
4:45. Yeah, and that gets me into Chicago at about...
6:30.
That gets me into Chicago around 6:30. Yeah. All right. Suppose I call you in the morning at 10 o'clock. I haven't got the figures on the deal now, but I'll have them by then. Okie doke. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. You bet, Bob. And thanks for calling. Goodbye.
It was New York, huh?
Well, it was a fellow in New York.
You said Bob. I don't imagine that was Bob Cucci, the big steel man.
Oh, no.
Bob McFarber that gets his name in the newspaper so much? Bob Clug, the politician?
No, it was just Bob Arledelt.
Who's he?
A shoe clerk there in New York.
Oh, a shoe clerk, huh?
We've got a little deal we're working out together. I knew Bob Arledelt years back when I was a much younger man. In fact, I knew him when I was a bum.
Oh, bum?
Yeah.
A bum?
Yes, when I was a young guy, I bummed around for a while. Enjoyed it, too. Never did me any harm that I know of.
You're a bum, huh?
Well, I was a bum.
I remember where it was we saw each other.
Where?
Texas Panhandle.
Why, of course.
1932.
June, July, and August on that railroad ballast job.
I borrowed $10 from you one time.
Sure you did, you bum.
You're a bum yourself.
I know I'm a bum.
Sir, as we rejoin our friends in the living room of the small house halfway up the next block now, we find Vic, Sade, Uncle Fletcher, and young Rush listening respectfully while those reunited cronies, L. Vogel Drum and Botch Perney, exchange reminiscences.
You went to Montana after that summer in the Texas Panhandle, didn't you, Botch?
Montana, Oregon, Alberta. In the winter, I went down to Alabama and worked in a steel mill a while.
I spent the winter of 32 in Hannibal, Missouri. Drifted up the Mississippi to St. Paul, worked in a lumber yard a month or so, and then wandered back south.
Great life.
Yes, you said it.
A while ago, I promised you people a side-splitting belly laugh. It won't take but a minute to tell this story. Well, sir, I am a certain young lady.
Hey, Botch, did you ever catch up with Slim Garnison when you were in Montana? Oh, excuse me, Dad, I interrupted you.
Certainly did.
Well, go right ahead.
Here I am buttoning in also, but say, Mr. Drum, don't you think that...
Oh, forget the Mr. Drum garbage gook. Call me Vogue.
Vogue?
Short for Vogel.
Oh, I see. All right. Hello, Vogue.
That's the stuff. Now, what'd you start to say?
Well, I was wondering if we shouldn't start rolling downtown pretty soon.
Sure thing.
You're probably getting hungry.
I am. Is there a good place to eat in town?
Sure.
The little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shopping.
A double talk, eh, son?
No, that's right.
Say it again.
Little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shopping.
It sounds delicious.
It is a nice restaurant, Mr. Drum.
You were joining us at lunch, of course, Mrs. Gook.
Oh, goodness, no.
Sure you are. I insist.
I have been railroaded completely out of the conversation. I open my trap. Somebody puts their foot in it every trip.
Well, that's right, Dad. It's my fault, and I'm sorry. Now, shoot.
This is a side-splitting story.
I'm holding my sides in advance. Spill it.
When I tell this story, every half-witted numbskull in the party laughs their heads off.
Well, go ahead.
Side-splitting belly laugh shake the little room.
Well, start, Uncle Fletcher. Goodness.
The side-splitting story takes place 35 years ago when I and a certain young lady, who shall be nameless, attended a marshmallow roast. This young lady was a Miss Helen McRottery, and she had a brother, Art. Art McRotterly wasn't bright. I say that because one afternoon he bought himself a glass of lemon phosphate in at the drugstore.
Sure, I remember Slim Garnison in Montana, Vogue. Been studying it over in my head the last 5 minutes, and all of a sudden hit me.
This is an outrage.
Oh, well, ish.
Slim Garnison was a cowhand working out of Eldred, Montana. Had such blonde hair, it was almost white.
That's right, Botch. You were talking about Slim and no mistake.
I wouldn't mind, Uncle Fletcher.
Slim Garnison and I are cousins, Botch.
That a fact?
Cousins and buddies, too. Slim Garnison and I traveled clear across the United States on motorcycles when we were both 18 years
old. Telephone's ringing. Telephone's ringing.
I'll get it. Might be Philadelphia.
Why would it be Philadelphia?
Philadelphia wanting Mr. Drum.
Mr. Baum is about right.
Or it might be Los Angeles wanting Mr. Drum. Hello? Yes, it is. Yes, Mr. Drum is here.
Well, for me, huh?
Detroit.
Oh?
Detroit wants you.
I expect it's Sam.
Detroit wants to say it.
That's nice.
Yes? Yes. All right, put him on. A friend of mine.
The mayor of Detroit?
I doubt it.
Governor of Michigan?
Probably not. Hello. Sam? Hello! How's the kid?
Maybe Sam Hubbledrink, the big industrialist.
Sam, I'll have to give you that information in the morning. I'll have to call New York on the same deal. Uh-huh. Okay, fine, Sam. You bet. Goodbye.
Sam Hubbledrink, the big industrialist?
Oh, thunder, no. Sam Jack Wills.
He's a millionaire?
He's a plumber.
Oh, plumber.
He used to be a bum. We all used to be bums, huh, Butch?
You're not fooling.
Bums, huh? Yes, indeed.
Well, hey, here, what's holding us up? Let's get down to that joint you mentioned, get to eating. Oh, what's the name of it, son?
Little Tiny Petite Pheasant Feather Tea Shop.
That's for me. You'll join us, won't you, Doc?
How is that, lad?
Come and eat some lunch with us. You'll get free of any commitments, Butch?
I haven't got any commitments. I'm free as a breeze.
Royce, how about you?
I'm afraid my father would rather I stayed home.
No, what do you say, Gook?
He can tag along, I guess.
Sure he can. And you'll hook up with the party, eh, Dad?
You are inviting me to go eat dinner, Arthie?
Exactly what I'm doing.
I accept the invitation.
Well, then, what's holding us?
Hey, since there's so many of us going downtown, we can have a little parade.
Parade?
Yeah. You're L. Vogel Drum, the grand nomadic stencher of the sacred stars of the Milky Way. You're here on official inspection tour. Since there's so many of us going downtown, we can have a parade in your honor.
Anything you say, Gook. A parade it is.
Parade of bums.
Parade of bums.
I'll wear my plumed hat. See, I got it right here handy. Shall I wear my plumed hat, Sade?
Yes, wear your plumed hat.
I will put my plumed hat on my head.
That's a place for it, all right.
Well, everybody ready?
Sure. Right.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Company, hush!
end our visit at the small house halfway up the next block with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade. Listen again next Thursday, same time, same station, when the F.W. Fitch Company again presents Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Windsor. This is Jack Fuller speaking.